The third aliyah of Parshas Va'era begins with Hashem commanding Moshe to speak to Paro, and Rashi explains that this is the same interaction from the beginning of the Parsha, but because the second aliyah interrupted in order to tell us all of the lineage, so we need to resume with a reiteration of what's happening. But the Ramban explains that actually this is a new interaction, that because Moshe was hesitant because of his belief that he was incapable of conveying the message, and he states that he is a Aral Sfasayim, that he is not one who is able to transmit this message. So therefore, Hashem has to explain to him why he is able to be successful together with Aaron's help. And in the second pasuk, we find that Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Hein ani Aral Sfasayim ve'eich yishma alei Faro." That here I am somebody who has problem speaking, and how can I expect that Paro is going to be able to hear me? And this relates also to the first aliyah, because as Rashi tells us in the end of the first aliyah, that this is one of 10 times in the Torah that we find a kal vachomer being expressed. That there in Pasuk Yud Beis, the language is very similar, where we have Moshe saying, "Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai, v'eich yishma'eni faro, v'ani aral sfasayim." That here, the Jewish people, they're not even listening to me. So how can I expect that Paro is going to listen to me, and I have this difficulty in communicating? So there are different ways to understand what exactly the kal vachomer is. Why is it that there is such an assumption that he should have been successful with the Jews, and if he can't be successful with them, then certainly he's not going to be successful with Paro. So the Ibn Ezra stresses that the idea is that even the Jews, who are your nation, don't believe, so can't expect that Paro is going to believe. The Hadar Zakenim has it a little bit differently, that for the Jews, it's good news. And we would expect that people believe what they want to believe, they listen to what they want to listen to, and if the Jews, who should hope for redemption, they're not interested in believing this, so then certainly Paro is not going to want to believe this. Now, the Ramban emphasizes a different point, that this is in line with Moshe's complaint that he didn't feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping him. So he's saying here that Hashem didn't help him with having the Jews believe, so how can he assume that he's going to have any more success with Paro? So these different interpretations emphasize different parts of the equation here. So some are focusing more on the fact that the Jews should have been more likely to believe, more so than Paro, and not necessarily with an emphasis on the fact that Moshe considers himself to be unequipped to convey the message as an Aral Sfasayim. So consideration of those elements, there are different interpretations of what's going on and what the response is, and how there is or isn't a kal vachomer, and how this kal vachomer is possibly refuted, because the Torah also tells us that the Jews had a reason for not listening to Moshe, mikotzer ruach, miavod akasha, that they had hard work and that they were exhausted. So perhaps that's why they weren't able to listen to Moshe, but that doesn't necessarily apply to Paro. So maybe the kal vachomer isn't a good kal vachomer. So here we find that the Chizkuni and the Das Zakenim explain that the Torah was defending the Jews, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe was aware of that. So that doesn't necessarily undermine his kal vachomer. The Samderech of Simchas Yisrael Broyd suggests that Moshe was blaming himself and his anivus and attributing it to an inadequacy in his communication, but the Torah was telling us that it came from a different aspect. Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, in his Chidushim Ma'aritz, has a few explanations to this, and he suggests one answer is that this has to do with the approach of the Ran in his drashos, where the Ran had stated that the reason the Kaddish Baruch Hu specifically selected somebody who was an Aral Sfasayim in order to convey his message was so that there shouldn't be a taina afterwards, there shouldn't be a complaint that the Jews were bamboozled by a silver-talking speaker who had terrific oratory and was able to convince them of something that wasn't true, that it should be clear that his message was actually the truth. So if the idea was that that wasn't even effective nonetheless, even for the Jews, so when it comes to Paro, who is going to need somebody with chashivas and somebody who can speak in an impressive way, so perhaps there is a kal vachomer from that perspective. He also suggests that the language of Hain is meant to convey the chashuvim, that Hain b'nei Yisrael, even those who were not involved in the shibud and who were not weighed down by all the work, they also didn't believe, and therefore perhaps perhaps the Kal Vachomer is focusing on them. He has another approach where he suggests that maybe Moshe felt that the only power that he had to accomplish anything was the koach of the rabbin, was the power that came from the community as a whole. And if he wasn't successful in getting the Jews to listen to him that could have benefited from that power, so then he's not going to be successful in getting Paro to listen either. The Paneach Raza understands that Moshe was actually just trying to predict what Paro was going to say, not necessarily what he believed. He was saying that Paro is going to respond that here your own people don't listen to you, so how could you expect that I should listen to you if you're not able to convince them? The Meshech Chachma has a comment over here in Pasuk Chav Tes, which specifically connects all the themes of this aliyah. And he addresses the fact that there is the major question that all of the Rishonim struggle with, the idea that we find in this aliyah and elsewhere throughout these parashios, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be taking away the free will of Paro when he says that he will harden his heart here, and we find this reference throughout these parashios. So one of the many explanations is the idea that as much as it's axiomatic that human beings have free will and can choose good or evil, it may be different when it comes to kings, that we have the idea that Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem, that God does at times direct the decisions of world rulers because of their impact on history and the need to decide how the path of the world is going to go. So perhaps that's the idea here, that this is actually a part of God's response to Moshe's Kal Vachomer, that Moshe is saying that how can I expect that Paro is going to listen to me if the Jews don't even listen to me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, well, it's not really the same, because the Jews have Bechira Chafshe, so they could choose not to listen to you. But Paro, I am directing his decisions, and that's what this pasuk is in response to, that he's saying, I am going to harden his heart, and I do that because he is a king, and because the path that he takes is going to affect history. And therefore, don't worry that there's some kind of a Kal Vachomer here, that if the Jews don't listen, then Paro won't listen either. So to that, Moshe responds, well, maybe that addresses that aspect of the Kal Vachomer, but what about the fact that ani aral sfasayim, that I'm not capable of communicating in an effective way? So to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responses, so here's where Aaron comes in, and that's where it flows into the next pasuk, the beginning of Parak Zayin. So here we find the very striking language, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe Re'ei Nesaticha Elohim Lefaro V'Aaron Achicha Yeh Nevi'echa. So that word, which normally is Kodesh, which normally means a God, so how are we to understand it in this context? So Rashi tells us it means that you will be an authority over Paro. The Das Akenim suggests that the reference is that here Paro had made himself into a God, and therefore we will show him what real God is like. We will show him how to counteract that. That's along the lines of how the Medrash understands it as well. Rashiv Karambiavna, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht has a drush about this where he comments on the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being referred to as HaMelech HaKavod, and the Medrash understands that to suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares his kavod with human beings, and he is the opposite of people. And that is to convey that the kavod of God is genuine and real and internal, and therefore he is able to share that with human beings. And that is what the bracha conveys, asher chalak mikvodo lebasar v'dam, that he can actually share that honor with human beings. And this is the opposite of human beings who have to demand honor from people, which is a false honor and doesn't have that genuine aspect to it and is jealously guarded. And when other people seek honor, they feel it detracts from their own. And then the pasuk continues with another unusual reference, saying, "V'aron achicha yeh nevi'echa." So here the Ramban explains that just like in the sense of a normal Navi, where Hashem speaks to the Navi and tells him what to do, so too here there will be a comparable role, that just as, so to speak, Moshe will be in the Elohim role, so he will be able to convey his message through Aaron, who will be in the Navi role, as actually being the vehicle for that message.